We are live. How are you doing, Mudit? It is finally, it took me what, 2 months to get you here? You were resisting. You were like, no, I don't want to come to PG Radio. That's a third rate podcast. I don't want to be spotted in some place I'm not going to enjoy. Is that what it was?
Prakhar, you should understand that anyone who consumes your content is low-key scared of you.
Why scared? Scared is a very weird choice of words, wouldn't you say?
People are scared of raw and real.
People are scared of raw and real. You mean the podcast or the quality?
It's a pun. I'm working on both. Uh-huh. But really, you know, there's so much of sophistication out there, so much of creation, synthesization ki. यहाँ पे एक बंदा है जो मुंह पे एक बात बोल देता है.
Right.
People are always scared of somebody who speaks the truth, does not mince words.
And why do you think that is? What's your guess?
So people like you are not afraid to penetrate somebody's armor when you need to. And people are protective about their armors, right?
You make me sound dangerous. It's like I'm a samurai. That's nice. I have always felt, and yaar, pata hai kya? I'll tell you something very honestly. Okay? This is probably the first time I'm talking about this. I have an offer from, it's a kind of a forum that has you come and talk, you know, give talks. And they want me to be there, deliver a talk. And this is the first of its kind that I've received. You know how that shapes up for a speaker. You've been one yourself in that space. And they had only one condition, which was that I stay there for the length of the event.
Okay.
And I had to say no. Because I cannot imagine staying in one place for 9 hours when I'm not sure if I'm going to enjoy any of it. Right? And I thought about it. I was like, this was last night. I was driving and I was like, am I crazy? I kept thinking, am I crazy? And it's exactly what you're saying. It's not, I'm hardwired to be like this, where it's almost always about some kind of a brutal truth, right? And I'm not fond of it. It's like when I have to record scripts, when I have to do advertisements, I'm so uncomfortable. I take 10 takes. This I'll do one take live, you and I, right now. Because this I can do. This I'm doing for the first time. I am doing something I like for the first time. That is sufficient and necessary condition for me to act it out. Otherwise, it's very difficult for me to do that. I can barely do scripted stuff. Or for that matter, be in a place where I don't want to be, which is scripting myself for somebody else's perception in that moment. Does that make sense? Am I being silly?
It does. No, what I am curious about, Prakhar, is how do you have that no compromise approach in your life about these things? Let me clarify why I'm asking this question. Let's say I was in your place for that event. You know, here's what I would have thought. All right, if this event is worth it, if it has given me a platform, it's allowing me to reach more people, I might stay at for 4 or 5 hours in a place where, you know, I don't want to be there, but just in case it is helping out, I would have done that. What gives you the confidence to say that, all right, I don't even want to test the waters there. I want to have that flexibility to move out whenever I want, or else I'm not doing it. How do you get that confidence?
I think I'm in a unique place to answer that. It's because, I am facing that situation where I have to justify my confidence, right? And so it's unclear whether, I'll tell you, I think part of it is that I'm just dumb. I legitimately think so. Like, part of it is that I can filter out future outcomes and just not consider them. But part of it is the fact that, I was raised very much like that. Like, I've never mentioned this to my parents, but my origin story is my mother's father's story, who left his job because he found people he was working with were corrupt. Never worked again. That's how my mother told it to me when I was young. I was like, nice, that sounds like a guy. Right? That's part of my origin story. And part of it is knowing that I'll get more opportunity. Right? Part of it is just believing in skill. I know my skills that good. People will come. So I can play the patience game. I can play the waiting game in some sense like that. I may be wrong. That's why I think I'm slightly dumb like that. But I'm not like, I know you are right, bro. I should have done that. I'm just telling you that I cannot. I know that I should have. Mirko, it's impossible. Like, even with lectures that I thoroughly enjoyed, 3-hour lectures, 4-hour lectures from my past, I would need at least 30 minutes in the middle to just be like, main baitha kyun yahan pe? Like, I get this weird, why am I here still? Why am I stuck here? This feeling of being stuck is also weirdly part of my origin. So I cannot. I'm like, nay, 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 nay. So it's just how I'm hardwired. And I'm glad that hardwired nature makes for some kind of performance that people can come on the internet and enjoy. That becomes, you know, say part of the boon with that.
Bro, the difference is you studied at Columbia. I studied in CA final coaching classes, right?
Oh, I did CA final coaching too. Okay, you're not like me. I've also seen CA final coaching. Okay,
morning 4 a.m.
I would climb all the way to North Delhi for SFM, Strategic Financial Management. And oh my God, would I sleep through the class, bro? Months on end, I'd sleep through that class. How did you push through CA? Mere ko genuinely puchna hai. How was that?
I think I'm lucky in the way that my friends are Gujarati. And so I kept chomping on Gujarati snacks for 8 hours a day.
Huh.
And these guys are innovative.
Hmm.
Pani puri khakra.
Hmm.
I never thought these two elements could be combined in a single sentence or one dish.
Hmm.
And you have it there.
And it's good.
So, it's mind blowing, dude.
Yeah, bro.
Come to Mumbai, I would. They can make khakras out of anything. So all of my friends are Gujarati,
huh.
And they have these bunch of little tiffins that they carry with themselves.
Huh.
So there are 3 friends, 6 or 7 tiffins each.
Huh.
The 18 to 21 tiffins that are for me, and they're all thin girls.
Hmm.
They're not eating.
I'm
chomping all that on that stuff day long. I think that is what kept me
so
going.
So the incentive was Gujarati snacks. Is this the first time in history somebody finished CA because of Gujarati snacks? I'm not sure.
I would not have done it any other way. So
right.
I can
And so, but like you and I have that sort of a common backstory to us, right? We were both doing CA, sort of both interested in public speaking. When did you, through the course of doing your CA, realize, listen, accounts to nahi pata, but I can go on stage and like just keep people's attention? When was that?
Prakhar, what happened was in school, I was active in public speaking. And then when CA started, everything else sort of started to fade until there was a CA elocution contest, right? So the city level and the state level and the national level. And I got some rank at the nationals and I was like, it was like that relapse that was sure. there for a drug addict. So, and then I started looking by national, international, kya hai, kaun sa contest is 2014. And I found this contest where it was an international public speaking contest. I was like, I got to do this. And so there were some rounds, I cleared them. And then I had the opportunity to represent India at London. Okay. And tab tak sab theek chal raha tha. I was lucky. My principal at the articleship firm agreed ki yaar ye achhi cheez kar rahe ho. You take your time in the evenings, in the mornings, whatever, whenever you want to practice your speeches. So yaar, ye contest ke prakhar, main 3.5 months, I went around India, practiced this speech on and off, got feedback from thousands of people on little slips that I used to pass around in the audience and collect later. What do you enjoy about the speech? What can be better than this and that? And I go for that contest. It's like Olympics. First round is the heats round. Okay, clear the heats round. I go to the second round. I'll digress a little bit later because this was also a very pivotal point in my life because this was an extempo speech round. So you know how that managed. And then sure. It was a final round. So it was like the top 6 people now from 44,000 students with which this contest began. BBC headquarters, Canary Wharf, London. I'm saying BBC headquarters, HSBC headquarters, and there are BBC interviewers, etc. You know,
right.
So I never felt on top of the world like I did that evening.
Right, Canary Wharf is beautiful. You know,
yeah, it is.
Right,
and so there are these reporters who are asking about my journey and this and that. I'm like, my journey? Like, what are you talking about? And so I do that speech. I think I have nailed it. I'm waiting for that result that I'm gonna be the winner of this contest. And the name is announced. That name is in mind. Some South Korean guy.
Damn, you hate losing to the South Koreans. It's not cool.
You gotta trim that part up. But and the dip there, Prakhar, was I was away from my family for perhaps the first time in my life. You know, thousands of miles away. And the dip was that just a few minutes ago, people were taking selfies, reporters were on you, and now nobody cares because you're not the winner.
Mm.
And so there's this dip, like there's this sudden dream that you wake out of. And I'm
my head is bowed low. I'm walking outside the auditorium. I feel a nudge on my arm. I'm having goosebumps on my lap as I shared the story with you. I turn around and there was this lady. She must have been in her 40s. She had tears in her eyes. She's barely able to speak. She says, "I'm from Africa and I just heard your speech." I'm like, okay. And she says, that 5 minutes of speech has changed the direction of my life forever. Mm. Thank you for sharing that story. Mm. And in that moment, it does not mean a lot to me. But when I recover from that win or lose situation and I think more deeply about the situation, I start to think that this is what I am born to do. You know, that kind of once in a life clarity that you have, and not for going after some medals that some contest would have won me. So what can I do about this, right? And so I come back, I have that clarity that CA related cheez nahi karni hai life mein, kuch aisa kuch karna. I didn't know what exactly, but at the same time, I didn't want to quit on CA. Reason being that, okay, you know, at that point in time, I know you hit the word motivation, which let's explore that word also in this
for sure
interview going forward. But at that point in time, at least in my life, I wanted to become a motivational speaker. And I thought, at like a 20-year-old would think, is I don't want to be telling other people what to do if I am quitting on something that that I set out to do. Looking back, it may have been the wrong way of thinking about it, but that's how I thought about it then. So I completed my CA, started with my consulting job, and that's how CA to public speaking happened. Sorry for the long one.
No.
But here's the story.
The mic's all yours, my friend. I had a... Well, I was just thinking of however many points I can check this with. So also got back into my drug habit because I did a CA elocution. I think I went on to the nationals, but I think the competition was very thin where I was doing my nationals. So I won that too. And I was like, okay, done. Because I was like, yahan to hai nahi competition. And at least
your poor competitors, Prakhar.
Huh? Nahin, bro.
You must have dismembered
them. Nahin. It was really not that. Like, I was so underwhelmed. I was like, there's no point participating here next time. So, matlab, genuinely competition nahi tha. Bahut hi, it was like one of those thin slip kind of things that the institute does once in a while. I don't know what that was. Anyway, move forward. But what did happen was, for both my lectures on the local level and the national level, I had my parents in the audience. My parents heard me for the first time then, and my grandfather probably came for the next.
Awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
And that meant a lot to me. Because when I spoke then, I spoke because I was speaking to them. I was like, these are the audience that I'm kind of focusing on today, right? And that it was very special. And so I knew I was good at it. In fact, I'd always, almost always wanted to be a lawyer. Sometimes that spirit still barks inside me. Where it's like, if I was a lawyer, I'd be doing pretty well, right? So I still consider it, maybe, why not? But then I went to Columbia and I realized what I truly like to sharpen my sword against were ideas. Instead of case laws and jurisprudence and that all that, right? Mm-hmm. And ideas, abstract ideas. And maybe that's just a fascination for now, but it gave me fuel. And I started public speaking there. I started participating in debates there. And they got me acclaim. People would come to me and be like, yo, you speak very well. And I was like, huh. But more importantly, my training ground was talking to just like conversations like these, say on my couch, you and I sit down and we end up speaking for 4 hours. We just lost track of time. Such an insane conversation. And I was like, that is something unique. So that's where my whole stint into all of this came about. But there were a few things you'd mentioned which were very interesting. One of those things was the clarity that you had in that moment, right? This unique once in a lifetime clarity. Because I don't think everybody's afforded that. I still don't think I have clarity. I have clarity in the next 3-4 years, maybe. Nothing beyond that. I just have no idea. What is this kind of clarity? Help me see.
It's a difficult question for me right now, Prakhar, because, you know, sitting where I am, sometimes I think if I want to do something else. Again, I don't speak about it in public very often.
Sure.
Because I'm speaking about some topic that, you know, I want to present myself as an expert or a budding expert. So I don't have that clarity right now that I had back then. Because back then I just saw it from a point of, you know, this is for the first time seems like I am good at something. And the reason that clarity came, Prakhar, is I was never a good student, and my younger brother is a genius. He could solve my math questions. I couldn't solve his. And my parents are well educated. So I was like that academic black sheep of the family.
Which is basically black sheep, bro. Let's be real. Yeah. We grew up in the 90s, right? Like 90s, 2000s. That was black sheep. Full stop. Koi influencer thodi hota tha.
And aap ye socho ki yaar, my teachers, like we have common teachers in school, are calling me to the staff room and telling me, you should be like your younger brother.
That's
and
harsh.
As I've grown, it is. And as I've grown up, I've accepted that reality that, okay, this guy is smarter than me and he is, right? What can I do about it?
No, right.
But in school, that thing hurts.
Huh. Of course, bro. Okay. Right.
So I knew academics was not the greatest of things. Sports, I was 93 kgs, you know, as a 14-year-old. So the only thing that I could do at best was shot put and getting disqualified in tug of war because they had a weight capacity in the team and I was taking the place of two people who could have otherwise together pulled better than I could have.
Right. I hope that's not just a joke. That's an honest confession, right?
It is an honest confession.
Lovely. Huh? All the more.
It is an honest confession.
That is the kind of truth I love, bro. Keep saying. Huh.
And then it so happened that in the fifth grade, I took part in this silly storytelling contest. Some pig and the camel kind of story I shared. And it was the first time I ever got recognized for anything. When I won it, I got 500 rupees. I still remember. Inflation adjusted, not pretty bad today, actually. But but back then, it was a big, big deal.
Hey, computed and, like a chartered accountant. Good job.
So I get it. And it's the first time, you know, I feel recognized for something. So my love for the English language developed. But it was always, I was doing something else. But in 2014, really that clarity hit that this is something that I want to do. The lack of clarity now is I feel pulled in different directions. Is that how scalable am I? And should I put that video out there or focus on this engagement that I have? Should I create something for younger folks? Should I create something for older folks? If I do something for younger folks, it has the views. It may not have
the depth.
If I create something for the older folks, then nobody's watching it because they're not spending time on YouTube. They're working 12 or 14 hour days and doing something else. So I've never felt that. I actually envy my 20-year-old who felt that clarity.
Bro,
that
that's
I
the kind of
like.
Life you want to lead. Come on. You're like that. You know. But no, I get that. Surprisingly, what this conversation is for older folk who are working 8, 6, 10, 12 hour a day, right? I'm just glad for the younger folk that end up being exposed to something like this, right? Like if you think about it, stuff that we might talk about, because I have some interesting questions to ask you, right? And for the first of which stems from what you were just saying about, you know, whether I make a video for the younger folk or the older folk. We've spoken about this previously as well, you and I. It is such a tremendous ability for me, at least right now, to conceptualize that you can relate to both, right? Mm-hmm. I'm amazed or rather awestruck by the fact that when you speak to, say, C-level employees, right? Mm-hmm. People who, or that's what they're called, C-level employees, CEO, CFO,
C-suit,
right, exactly. You know, people you'd normally expect to have their head between their shoulders, to figure stuff out. Well, it's not easy to end up being a CEO of a successful company. It's really not. The amount of peddling you have to do, the amount of pushing you have to do, the amount of rowing you have to do is insane, right?
That's crazy.
And from that, you also have the ability to relate to college students, which is where we met at a college gig. Mm-hmm. Where does that depth come from? Like, how do you know what they're thinking? I know what a 25-year-old is thinking. I'm very clear on that. That I can handle. As for a 40-year-old, I'm not quite sure what to imagine. So where does that come from?
You've really got me thinking here, Prakhar, but I think that I've always had that. I think there's a word for it. I don't know what the word is. If you can help me, fear of not knowing something.
I don't think there's a word for it. I think it's the human condition. I think it's just base natural state of us humans, so, right? Huh.
So I don't, and for anybody who's listening to this, if you don't know something, I think it's perfectly okay to not know something. But for me growing up, if I was in a conversation and I didn't know about something, I felt bad. I got to know about things is, you know, is how I felt. Right. So right from, I think after 10th, 11th, those time, 12th, tak to aapke things automatic ho jati hai, but after 12th, I think at least for me, I started developing a worldview, what I can, cannot read, what I should not listen to, what I can, cannot consume. And at the age of, I think 17 or 18, I started reading books, which typically much older people would read. For example, I started off with Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey.
Right.
And really looking back, I think it, I don't know how it made any sense to me at all, because there's, when I read the book right now, I'm like, for sure, I had no capacity to absorb this.
You're 15. Right. Like, you're 15. I read The Alchemist when I was 14 and I thought, oh, profound. I read it now. I'm like, tere ko samajh bhi kya aaya hoga?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, for example, like when we were watching The Matrix, all we understood was action movie. But when we watch The Matrix now, there's
you're like such existential a crisis.
Right?
You're exactly. Like, aisa
to nahi hai. Exactly. So, yeah, I think one is that reading stuff which was beyond my capacity to understand at that point in time. And it so happened that in those few months, I was traveling from Kandivali to Churchgate here. So it was, let's say, an hour and a half train ride. And, you know, you hustle between people and all you can do here in the Mumbai local is I open my little phone and I am reading that PDF on the phone while I'm traveling. I think that allowed me to start reading and start thinking on the levels of somebody who was older than me. What I also tried to do after, you know, reading all of this is whenever I used to meet people, I used to go with a certain set of questions that if I have the opportunity to speak with this person, what are certain questions that I would like to ask them?
Right.
So I had a bunch of questions, like some were common, like what is an advice that you would give to your 18-year-old self?
Right.
19. And as I kept growing, I kept changing that number. That's one. What is your favorite interview question? What is a book that you recommend?
Wait, have you ever gotten a nice answer to what is your best advice to your 18-19-year-old self? I just think it's such a genre question. Good answers don't exist.
It's hard to find good answers. I think one good answer that I heard was, and it was good from the context of his own life, who was pretty successful at what he did. And so it felt like a perfect life from the outside. Went to, you know, one of the IIMs and then BCG and then grew up to be a partner and then a guy at a VC firm, stuff like that. And he said something on the lines of, do not second guess yourself. And
I just think that's terrible advice. What the hell are you saying? You're 18. Second guess yourself nonstop. How else will you know if you're thinking properly?
I think from his perspective, and you know, the way he narrated his story was that he missed out on a lot of opportunities, a lot of things that he could have done, which were considered brave, because he second guessed himself to think that, "Yar, mujhe nahi karni chahiye. Mujhe ye normal route follow karna chahiye for somebody who has."
Bro, that's not second guessing. That's third guessing yourself back to first guess. Like, think about it. First guess normal hai. Second guess extra normal hai. Subnormal hai. Abnormal hai. Or wapas third guess hi to normal hoga na. So he's not second guessing himself. That's what I mean. It's always second guess yourself. Always think of the alternative. Always. Or at least when you're 18. And that is probably not even great advice itself. My advice to my 18-year-old self, it's only 8 years in the past, 7 years in the past, would be enjoy more. What the hell? Life sorts itself out. Enjoy more.
I love that advice. And, you know, one of the things that I also mentioned in my speeches, when, especially for the younger folk, is it is great to be confused, actually. And if somebody asks you, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Number one, they don't know what they're talking about. Mm. And number two, you've become great at pretending to know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Bro, ek toh anybody who's asking you, particularly, I'd say, overwhelming statistical outcome, yehi hoga, that whoever's asking you, what are you going to do in 10 years, does not know what the world looks like in 10 years. We really do not know what the world looks like in 10 years. Do yourself a favor, if you want to, write out what the next 2 years look like. And then check. And you'll have run this experiment forever, where you understand most people talking about the future don't understand the future. None of us do. Right? So, to think of the future as a Lego piece ki space hai, aur usme main Lego piece fit kar dunga, which is how most people think about their future. Ki main 10 saal mein ek bahut bada engineer honga, as if bahut bade engineer ka ek Lego space bacha hua hai hawa mein. Think of your life as a process of becoming more adaptable.
Yeah.
So I think one of the best things about your CEO level people is that they're very adaptable through stuff. That is probably why they end up there and how they end up there. It's like, kabhi bhi, it's very difficult for me to imagine your path being straight to CEO as an employee. Even as an entrepreneur, you begin by, well, getting your hands dirty with everything. My point is, you don't have to be a master of everything. You have to be adaptable because you do not know how the future is going to pan out. I don't think that perfect fit exists. I think it's a haphazard way of just going through circumstance. And I think that's how all of us are shaped. And before too late, we just wake up to realize we're 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever. That's my guess.
No, I love that, Prakhar. And, you know, think about this. So I have this vision. Let's say I have it somehow that this is exactly what I want to do in 10 years. And then I wake up in the morning, I see this new episode of PG Radio as an example.
Okay, and you've presented crisis. Something.
And I think, oh yeah, that's a good way to think about it, right? Tomorrow I read some book, I have a conversation with a friend, I watch a movie. So all of these little micro inputs are changing the way I think, are changing my wisdom. So how can I be consuming every day, be growing every day, and yet not have a different goal than what I set out with? You know, so I had put this up on social media a few years ago, is that you'll never be where you want to be because once you're there, you'll want to be somewhere else. So I think about these goals as, you know, as a weird analogy, like these floating jellyfish, right? And you're like swimming towards them and they keep swimming away from you. And so the whole concept of, like you said, a Lego piece is a static goal. The concept of a static goal is an abstract concept.
Right.
It is not possible.
Right. Right. I'm very interested in the jellyfish analogy you made because it's kind of odd. And I only came up with this Lego piece analogy recently in a conversation. And I think it's a great mental model to have. Every time you think that there is a perfect piece that is going to fit perfectly in a circumstance, you're probably not thinking about all the weirdness, awkwardness, right? Marginal errors that you will have to go through to arrive at a sustainable product for yourself, for your company, whatever, whatever, whatever. I just think that is the way things grow. Except a few times where you just be like this clarity moment that you were talking about, where it does feel like a Lego piece, right? And it's good to chase it, at least in the initial part of it. But where does this jellyfish wala thing, you like scuba diving or something? You're into that?
No, I don't. I think it is because that something that happened with me when I was young that mentally scarred me. And that was in the first grade, I had this Hitler swimming coach. I don't think there is any other kind of swimming coach available.
Except, no, bro. Mera swimming coach was the nicest guy, bro. Nicest guy.
Kahan hai ye log? Kahan se aate
hain? Faridabad aaya. Main bata raha hoon. A1. Paul sir, A1 aadmi, haan.
Achha. So this guy, and I used to go there. And even today, when I smell chlorine near the swimming pool, I can see that picture with absolute clarity. And I used to go, and this guy used to be just like floating in the water like an eagle with his arms and legs spread, waiting for his next victim
right.
to arrive so that he could devour them. So the reason why I was so scared of him, like he used to say, chalo char round karke aa, it was 12 feet pool. And I think what I was 2.5 feet. So char round karke aa jao, and then you're done. And what he used to do, ek, do, teen, main chautha round karke aa raha ho na, he used to push me away. And I used to swim back. And 12 feet mein aap half the argue bhi nahi kar sakte with a person who is time stronger than you.
Right.
All you can do is keep swimming. Right. And so he used to push me back. And he used to keep swimming. Push me back. I used to keep swimming. And so that goal which was there just seemed to get further away from me.
Right.
I think that is where it comes from. Yeah. That as we move closer towards a goal and we think, you know, this is one place where I want to arrive. Once you arrive there, you realize that you're still not there at that.
Weirdly, the feeling with arriving somewhere is this stagnant, static satisfaction that I'll have. And if anything is true, like buy yourself a car and see how long you're happy with the car. Right? Initially, you're like, I want pictures clicked with this car. That's how fancy this car is. And then eventually, you just give up on it. So, it's like that. Almost all goals in life tend to be sort of on a treadmill. It's always just one marker. And then it starts again. You know how a treadmill, you have those beads that keep going. I don't know if you use those treadmills. And then you complete a round. And they suddenly start again. You're like, itni mehnat lagi thi yaar, itna sara karna hai. Right? And that is what it is. So, like, that's how I think about goals. But you know what I'm also extremely fascinated about is, is trading of goals for processes. Because here is what I understand. Bro, you will... ठीक है, जैसे अगर सपोज मैं कल मर्सिडीज लेता हूँ ना, वो एक दिन होगा जब मेरे पास मर्सिडीज, मैं खरीद के आऊंगा, चल 3 दिन एक्सटेंडेड प्लेजर लगा ले, 4 डेज, बट जो मैं मैक्सिमम टाइम स्पेंड करूंगा ना अपनी लाइफ में, वो उस प्रोसेस में स्पेंड करूंगा टू गेट टू दैट प्लेस, राइट, टू मेक इनफ मनी और टू हैव व्हाटएवर, राइट, डिस्पोजेबल इनकम टू बाय अ मर्सिडीज. माय पॉइंट इज, इन लाइफ ऑलमोस्ट 95% ऑफ योर टाइम इज स्पेंट इन द प्रोसेस ऑफ समथिंग, राइट. So that something is a separate thing altogether. We can discuss whatever it is. I'm interested in the process. Right? And I mean, more specifically or generally, if you want to take that, I'm interested in the process of learning how to be a, like, whatever, international level, corporate level, just phenomenal, extraordinary public speaker. Like, what goes into that process?
No, when I look at you from the outside, Prakhar, and you know, I don't want to flip the script, I want to answer your question first, but you seem to be like that raging bull who wakes up in the morning and goes, fuck process, and let me see what I'm enjoying today. Let me, I have this idea, let me create on it right now, is what it seems to me on the outside. Maybe you can throw some light about for yourself. Maybe you can throw some light behind, you know, the discipline behind the raging bull and how much of it is discipline and how much of it is the raging bull attitude?
Well, bro, I think the sample size for my history is too small to make an accurate judgment. Like, I'll be very honest with you, in the sense that a lot of it was during lockdown. There was very little else to do, right? So truly, if you want to measure the test of Prakhar's character, if he has to say anything that is serious about himself, you have to measure it with distraction. There is none, right? At least there wasn't for the longest time. That's one. Two, what I'm extremely fond of is chasing thoughts out in my head. So the raging bull is very similar to the other example that you were using where I want to create something new. It's exactly like you asked me a question that made me think. And there's nothing more important than trying to answer that for me right now, especially in words, because thought is okay. I can think about it, visualize it. But how do I put it into thought? How do I learn it for myself? Right? And it's not just this. It's almost everything else. So when I ask you a question about what your process was, I'm looking at asking the perfect question. So what I'm exactly looking for emerges. That itself is a practice of an art. And then I think I have an obsessive personality. I just have an obsessive personality. I have phases. That's my, that's the curse on the other side. One day I can just be like that? Out, cannot do it anymore. But while I have this phase going, I'm hungry nonstop. I'm just obsessive like that. And I think a lot of people don't use that strength. Like, if I was exposed to enough alcohol, I'd probably be an alcoholic, is what I'm trying to say. The flip side of that is, if I can control myself to expose myself to good stuff, I can use that personality characteristic, that psychometric trait that I have, the affinity for exploring more and more in different directions. You see what I mean? So on a psychometric level, there is only 5 different sort of personality traits that you have that interact in a complex manner to create behavior.
Yeah.
And one of them is probably some kind of obsessive compulsive behavior with things that you like. And so if I did like alcohol that much, I'd be like, isi mein life ke saath khush hoon. But I don't. I like talking, I like thinking more. And that obsessiveness helps me capitalize on that. And I think a lot of people are obsessive. They're just obsessed about things that are not as, say, fruitful. Right? And so I tapped into that obsession very quickly. Or very quickly after I realized. I was like, okay, there's no fighting that. It's not a discipline problem that you have with stuff. It's just that you really like doing this. Because I would skip class for this kind of stuff. But I'd be like, kya hai? Class mein to wo same padhayenge. Main PowerPoint pe dekh lunga. Yahan ek naya kuch chal raha hai. Right? So I think part of it is the obsession. Part of it is fascination with ideas. Like, I truly want to think. I truly want to be able to think clearly. I truly want to be able to pass on a message clearly. Any one. Just give me one message. I hope that just passes on with the accuracy I intended to. But that's about me. That's about me. And that's part of my process.
Let me call you the human fiber optic cable.
Why the human fiber optic cable? Why the human fiber
optic cable? Because that's what a fiber optic cable does, right?
it minimizes loss in transmission, tries to convey information fast, accurately. And I think that's what you're doing for
maybe,
a lot of people.
Maybe that's what people should call me, fiber optic.
To your question about the process, I think what I'm obsessed about is, okay, so here's how I feel. If somebody is paying me with their time or with their money or with both, and if I don't absolutely overperform, I feel very guilty about it. And so what happens is, if I see that there is this gig that is coming up, all right, whatever is to know about that topic that I want to address, I will make sure that in the time that I have, that I will absolutely squeeze out of it completely. So I think that is my process. That's number one. Number two is that I don't wait for an opportunity to come before I start preparing. I imagine that that opportunity is there and it will present itself. I'm just unable to see it at this point in time. And so if I had this thing coming up next week or the week after that, then how would I prepare for it right now? I think that is how I do it. That's number two. And number three is that if an opportunity does come my way, I'm not prepared for it, then I never gauge the potential of that opportunity with my existing preparation. Right. I take that opportunity first. I will accept that gig, and then I will figure out how do I deliver it.
Sure. Sure. Smart.
And that has put me in very difficult position at times.
Why?
And I love to be in, because I, you know, I took up something and I said, okay, this will push me outside the comfort zone. And now there's a week to go for it. And now the thing, the reality strikes. What are you doing? You don't have to do this. You know, it was okay.
Right.
And then I started to think, okay, this is an opportunity where I actually get to stretch myself beyond where I am right now. Let me give you an example, okay, for this. Two or 2.5 years ago, I was asked to, it was a pro bono opportunity for, you know, they wanted me to host a conference in Indore. Yeah. And I'm not the host kind of guy. And I, but I always had this thing for the host kind of people. Ki yaar, ye log, and now we more popularly call them MCs. Back then, the word host was more
anchor common. And host.
Anchor and host. Now it is all these different words and final points. But
you're feeling culturally redundant. Just, huh?
I am. Sorry about that. your Gen Z audience is
starting to bol raha hai yaar ye.
So, but I always had these things for these MOCs. Ki yaar, kabhi koi guest late ho jata hai, kabhi kuch ho jata hai. Itne sare naam hote hain, and these guys are always on toes, and they're, you know, they are, let me say, they're so on their feet. They're very quickly able to say things, make up things. And I always had this appreciation for them. Ki yaar, ye log ye kaise kar lete hain? Because I'm an, like I said, over preparation kind of person. So when I am doing something, it may sometimes look spontaneous, but it is 100% prepared.
How much of what you're saying right now is scripted?
Prakhar, you are a mean person.
I should not have asked that. I thought you were mazakara.
So you are asking me questions, which are, so really, some of these things I've mentioned today, I might regret them later, but I've never mentioned them in public.
Make you regret.
So I've said a lot of those things that I had actually not prepared for. So I'll give you that, I think. But beyond that, so I remember, so I was hosting this event and I took it up. I took that opportunity up. And then suddenly it says, a huge keynote speaker was coming in. It was a CFO or CIO of a listed company, one of India's largest IT companies. And this guy then suddenly says that my flight is delayed, so I'll be coming 30 minutes late. And my worst nightmare has come true. Okay. And I'm thinking, now, what do I do in these 30 minutes? And so I suggest to the organizers, break the 30 minutes. Break. And they say, yaar, see, this guy is speaking 45 minutes or an hour before dinner. So if we give them a break, they will not come back. They will just stay outside the auditorium, wait for dinner. So you got to figure out something, do something. And then this organizer looks at the other person who was their usual host, who was doing something else that day. And she tells him, ki yaar, aaj tu hona chahiye tha yaar, faltu mein event kharab ho jayega. और जो आग लग गई ना प्रखर मेरे उस दिन मेरे अंदर, आई फेल्ट लाइक आई वाज सो हीटेड अप फ्रॉम इनसाइड दैट आई कुड नॉट हियर थिंग्स एंड सो आई टर्न ऑन द माइक, आई गो आउटसाइड, आई गेट ऑफ स्टेज, आई गो विद इन द ऑडियंस एंड आई डोंट नो व्हाट आई डिड दैट डे, कंप्लीटली अनस्क्रिप्टेड, प्लेइंग विद पीपल, स्पीकिंग विद देम, इंटरैक्टिंग विद देम, गोइंग अराउंड यार इंदौर में क्या खाया, क्या देखा, ये वो वगैरह. And people went back saying that, you know, we enjoyed that section of that whole event the most was the feedback. From all the stuff that we had been preparing for the last 6 months, they enjoyed something that was created right then on the spot. Mm. And I took the flight to Mumbai that late night thinking, if I did not have that opportunity today where something went wrong, I would not have discovered that portion of myself here. I don't need to always over-prepare for something. Mm. I sometimes have to trust myself in those situations where I'll be pushed to that edge and I'll have to perform right there.
I say that is called opening yourself up for serendipity. That's the problem with planners, right? Like with planners, which is a very legitimate, in fact, a more stable way of doing things. People plan everything out and then they go about doing it and they find success when it hits 100% execution. Yeah. Now, you don't let randomness sneak into the equation. And sometimes randomness is bad. It brings chaos. Sometimes it's great. And that's serendipity. So if you optimize, say, the way you operate for some amount of randomness, you end up just creating fantastic serendipitous moments. And so I'm the opposite. I cannot think of a way I'd go in prepared. But for anchoring and whatnot, when you were saying, I was like, that is scary. Because I have to be like, I have to entertain people one directionally. And it cannot even be smart stuff. Like, I have to be funny and shit for like 30, 40 minutes and like engage people. I'm not sure about that.
I want to be part of that event, by
bro, the way. Bro, what is that? Audience support karega. In school, mein hota tha na, ma'am, mere ko hasa raha hai ye niche se. That kind of stuff. But tell me about like, kyunki tune ek bar bola na, you went around getting feedback from people on slips of paper as to how your speech was. And that's very brutal, man, especially if you think that is your life bread, or especially if you think you're very motivated doing that when you really hold it close to your heart. Because, well, some people's feedback is just stupid. In fact, most people's feedback is just stupid. I'm sure you developed a filter where you like discard all this variety of feedback. Ye bewakoof hai, inko samajh nahi aaya. Right? And then some people's feedback is kind of true, but you don't care. And then there is some feedback that's just... Right? And so I cannot imagine going that feedback route was easy. I also want to understand, because I'm sure you've had a learning curve when it came to speaking, right? Most people are just waiting to begin their journeys. India is devoid in a very, well, to some degree, it is devoid of good public speakers. We've had great public speakers, no doubt, but it just does not seem as the kind of quality we have to assert ourselves in public, right? It's a very collectivist culture and therefore group morality, or for that matter, group coherence is very important. Right? And so I wonder, how was it learning how to speak well? What did it involve? How can somebody go about doing that parallelly?
I think a few of the things that have helped me the most, Prakhar, is number one, I don't know, you sound great. I don't know if you hate the sound of your voice, but when I am watching my own videos, I hate the sound of my voice. Yeah, ye kya bol, and when I'm coaching people for becoming better speakers, some of them who are good speakers themselves want to become great also hate the sound of their voices. So I don't think it is something about me. It happens to a lot of people, I think. But what I've noticed is that when I do a speech, I listen to it twice. Once I will mute the volume and I will just listen to my own body language. And I'm looking at minor things and making notes like, I touched my nose 15 times in 3 minutes. I don't need to do this. So why am I doing it? So I'm telling people that I'm not nervous, but actually I am nervous.
Of course.
That's the number one thing. Huh. It's a tell. I'm nervous. And then, of course, I switch off the video. I'm just listening to myself. Okay, am I speaking too fast? Am I doing this? That's number one. Number two is being comfortable with being anxious. If we stop being anxious about things, we stop preparing for things. And so the moment I start to think that I'm not being anxious about this speech, about this gig, I start feeling anxious, meta anxiety. I start feeling anxious about not feeling anxious because I start to feel, am I putting myself at a pedestal where I am not preparing for, it could be the smallest of things. It could be for a little college where they're going to be like 30, 35 people on a Zoom call. They're not paying me anything. They want me to come down. Okay. I still want to do my best for them because 35 students for an hour is 35 hours of time, which is invested / wasted. And I determine that.
Right.
Second thing is being comfortable with anxiety. I remember Prakhar, my first TEDx talk, I was backstage. I was shivering like, and I have done 500 or 600 speeches by this time. So it's not that it's the first time for me. I'm shivering like that.
Why? What's so special about it?
I think what was special about the TEDx talk was knowing that somebody else is going to upload it. And if I bomb this, there are no second takes.
I see. Because I'm like, status. Like, it's good. I'd love to do one.
That as well.
I'd love to do one. But it's hollow. Like, it's not like the quality of speakers. There was a point when almost all of us respected the quality of speakers in TED.
Yeah.
Now none of us do. That's tell. No. That's a tell. That tells you what we think about the brand. So why pretend like it's important?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm a little harsh with that.
No, I agree to that. I you're not mincing words and I agree to that. Huh. At least back in 2016, when I did it, it was important for me. So And it
absolutely,
was a big
bro. Absolutely. Absolutely. Back then, it still had something. It's been 5 years since.
So I think that thing about, you know, being associated with a brand beyond myself, because I just started off on my own as a professional speaker, to not having the control of whether this goes online or not. I think all of those factors made me scared. And I remember, so the organizer said, "Aapko baithna hai, do you want to have some water? Should we delay your slot, etc.?" And I just remember, I don't know how I came up with something like that in that moment. I said, if I'm not like this now, I won't be like that then.
Huh.
Okay. Wow. And so I go and I do that. So I go there and I do the talk, and whether or not it's great, good or bad, I don't look nervous. And I think the reason is that anxiety is anticipation of fear, right? And I'm sure you know more about this than I do, Prakhar, but anxiety is our created emotion, wherein we look at that event that is scary in advance and start to feel that fear in advance. So the difference between anxiety and fear is fear hasn't manifested itself. And so if there is anxiety before a speech, I feel comfortable with that anxiety. I feel excited. Okay, I'm feeling anxious. That means I'm preparing for it. That's number two. Number three is, so I've also written about it. When we are taking feedback from people, we start to get defensive a lot of times. So somebody's saying something, I was going to do that only. But then what happened was that audience, we started to get defensive. Now, Prakhar, there are very few people in the world who will come to you and say, yeah, you got to do this better. You're not doing that. And we got to keep those people close.
Yeah, man.
And when we get, get defensive, we discourage them. Right. And so I realized that when I used to pick up those slips of paper, sometimes they used to have absolutely opposite feedback. One would say, stop moving so much. The other would say, you got to be more fluid on stage, move a little more.
Yeah.
So I knew I cannot make everyone happy. But at the same time, I knew three things. So I started doing this. I started removing the process of filtration at the time I was listening to feedback. So I listened to feedback. If you give me feedback right now, I'm going to listen to it A to Z without any judgment. Yaar, ye mujhe aisa kyun bol raha hai? Ye kaun hota hai mujhe bolne wala? Ya ye to yaar ekdam galat baat kar raha hai. Listen to it without judgment. I want to squeeze you like an orange for everything that you want to share about me. And then I go back to my drawing board to think, theek hai yaar, ye 10 cheeze boli, isme se kaun si relevant hai? Theek hai, ye art crap hai, kuch matlab nahi hai, but ye do chahiye. Aur agar mujhe wo do chahiye na, तो मैं वो 10 में जब वो बोल रहा है मैं फिल्टर करने लग जाऊंगा तो आई विल लूज आउट ऑन दोस टू और वो दो चाहिए
ट्रू
सो फर्स्ट लिसन देन फिल्टर एंड देन एक्शन सो वी नीड टू रिमूव द प्रोसेस ऑफ फिल्ट्रेशन फ्रॉम द प्रोसेस ऑफ लिसनिंग आई एम श्योर दिस इज बिकमिंग अ लॉन्ग आंसर प्रकरण सॉरी अबाउट दैट बट आई जस्ट वांट टू ऐड वन लास्ट पॉइंट I'm sure you would feel what is called the, you know, that speaker's high,
hmm.
where you do that one live, one thing, and flood of comments, and you feel like you're the king of the world in that moment.
I mean, it fades very quickly. Initially, you're like,
It fades very quickly.
And then you're like, ah, okay.
It fades right. very quickly. And so I think 1,500 people at one of the largest auditoriums in Mumbai, Bhaidas Hall. I do that speech. I'm sitting backstage. People are lining up. They want to take a selfie. They want to take an autograph, and autographs were still a thing.
Right.
And
autographs went past very quickly, bro. They became nothing. Like nothing. Huh?
And there's this guy who comes up to me and in absolute broken English said something on the lines of, "Sir, aapke speech pe ek feedback dena hai." And I feel like, who are you? You're not able to speak proper English in front of me right now. And I have just absolutely nailed this speech for 1,500 people are standing in queue here to even, you know, have a shake hand with me. You're going to give me a feedback. That's what my initial reaction, my mind was in that half a second. I thought all of these things. And then my created reaction for me was, I would love to listen to you. Can you please wait for a few seconds? I will just get done with these people. I want to have a conversation with you. मुझे गुस्सा आ रही थी उस पे बट आई स्टॉप दैट इनिशियल इमोशन 5-10 मिनट हो गए सब चले गए मैं उसको लेके बैठा मैं बोला हाँ बता भाई बताओ क्या फीडबैक बोला सर मी एंड 7 or 8 ऑफ माई फ्रेंड्स वो लोग चले गए हैं घर पे अभी मैं रुक गया हूँ आपने रुकने बोला तो हम लोग वर्नैक्युलर मीडियम से हैं एंड आप बीच बीच में इतनी तेज इंग्लिश बोल ले रहे थे कि हमें समझ नहीं आ रहा था कि आपने क्या बोला तो हम एकदम एंड सर आपको कोई आके ये चीज बोलेगा नहीं लेकिन मेरे जैसे ऑडियंस में काफी लोग थे सब ताली बजा रहे थे तो हम भी ताली बजा रहे थे सब हंस रहे थे तो हम भी हंस ले रहे थे लेकिन सर मुझे पता है कि मुझे वो चीज आपकी समझ नहीं आई एंड मेरी हालत खराब हो गई प्रखर ये चीज सुन के मैंने बोला कि यार आई ऑलवेज गो टू पीपल हु आर बेटर देन मी फॉर फीडबैक People who are sometimes at the absolute bottom of the food chain in the skill that you want to improve might end up giving that feedback that nobody else gives you. And if I had applied my filter while listening to him, I would have missed out on it. So from then, I've tried to reduce the speed at which I speak and have. So it's one of the best feedbacks that I've ever gotten.
Right. Chat mein kuch log pooch rahe hai, mera DTU wala event Prakhar ke Pravachan channel pe stream hoga 3 baje. So that's there. But to get back to you. You are very right, bro. Like, this is such a good realization to have that actually feedback can get to you from almost anywhere. It's very important that you let feedback in. Kyunki it's not clear what direction is perspective going to come from. It's perspective, na? Ki terko hi broaden the reality out for you for a second. It's like, stop thinking about yourself for a second. Think about us as well. Yeah. And that's great. That's absolutely unique. I got that feedback for a very long time. Speak slowly. पहले तो मैं बहुत तेज बोलता था अब तो मैं फिर भी स्लो बोलता हूँ I take pauses. So unique. Taking pauses. But पहले तो I was just like blah 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 blah. Then it was use simpler language. But back then the problem was I wasn't thinking in simple language. So I couldn't speak in simple language. I was thinking in a very like academic or for that matter like dense language. It has come to become simpler since probably because I'm also out of practice in terms of speaking English on an everyday level. Like a year ago, I was speaking English day to day. And so I was more thorough with using the language. It's probably gotten some rust now that I've been speaking in Hindi. But what do you prefer? You prefer speaking English or in Hindi when you do your gigs?
Prakhar, I would admit and about the fact that for a very long time I felt as if I am going out there to speak, it has to be absolutely in English.
Right.
Until a few years ago, not a long time ago that I realized, and what really pushed me to the edge was I went to a small village, small district in Uttar Pradesh called Devariya to speak with students there. एंड वहाँ पे जो चीजें हम इंग्लिश में बोल देते हैं हमें पता भी नहीं चलता कि यार ये वर्ड हम कॉम्प्लिकेटेड यूज कर लिए इवन हिंदी बोलते हुए तो वहां पे आई वाज टॉकिंग टू स्टूडेंट्स स्पेशली एंड मेरे आई वांटेड टू कनेक्ट विद देम तो एक्चुअली वहां पे मैंने हिंदी बोलना शुरू किया और इतना मुश्किल हो रहा था मैं दिन में मॉम डैड भाई बहन दोस्तों से तो हिंदी में बात करता हूँ बट वो एक जो मेंटल फ्रेम था कि यार सेशन डिलीवर कर रहे हैं तो इंग्लिश में बोलना है वो चीज करनी बहुत right now I admire that you're able to do Prakhar ke Pravachan in Hindi, PG Radio, a lot of...
Uspe bhi yaar English chali jaati hai. When I get into zone, no? That's the language I think in. That's just part
of how you put that. Yes. Huh? So when I'm thinking formally, I think in English. When I'm thinking informally, I think in Hindi. And what I'm putting out there is more formal than informal.
Right.
So mere liye bhi mushkil hai. Mujhe maine kab se soch rakha hai ki Hindi mein aur content banana hai. Aaj tak ek ya do video dal paya hu main. Because itna mushkil hota hai wo cheez karna. But I absolutely agree. In fact, organizations right now, speaking to my friends in Google, are focusing on hyper local. Matlab, when they're focusing on the next billion users, they know people like you and I are already on the internet. You and I are not their priority. Their priority is somebody from a small village in Tamil Nadu who neither consumes Hindi nor English. And most of the internet out there is not accessible to him. How do we make internet accessible to him? And so I've sort of come to realize that, you know, I'm late to the party, but I have to humbly accept that if I want to reach out to more people.
Right. I have one more question to ask you. And this is just something that's been itching the back of my head personally for a very long time as well. Right? Well, in a very weird way, you and I occupy the space where we go out and by whatever cause, we are bound to sort of inspiring people, motivating people, giving people clarity. Whoever watches us, whoever comes to listen to us, right? And very often when I meet strangers and they find out about what I do, they ask me if that is like, is there a secret purpose that inspires you? Is there something magical you feel about somebody else that makes you want to get up from your seat and then engage in this? Well, I've never thought of it like that. I tell them. I've never really sat down and wondered if there is purpose. Now that I have come to acquire a few listeners, I do definitely feel a responsibility and I'm happy to execute that responsibility, but it's different from feeling a purpose. Purpose is more, say, from your own to the external. Responsibility is from the external onto your own, right? Now, do you feel a purpose behind doing this? Is there something to it or do you just do this because you enjoy it so much?
I think most of it is still the latter, that I enjoyed and so I'm doing it. But a lot of it is also, and I love how you shared that journey of it, how it began as a hobby or something you love, but now you feel more responsible. And there's also something that I realized, Prakhar, 3 or 4 years ago that, you know, I cannot be everywhere. So there's this disconnect between... There's this time synchronicity that is required between me and my listeners, me and my consumers. And if I can make that more asynchronous, like you are doing through your videos and podcasts and everything, it would be great. And so I started doing one thing that I absolutely hated, and that was actually writing. And I write for my speeches, yes. And that actually didn't make me a better but a worse writer. Because I write in speech language.
Right. I've always done that. I know exactly what you mean, bro. Since I was a kid, mere ko school mein second grade mein aise letter likhte the na. Write a letter to your father. Main usko bhi speech language mein likhta tha. To teacher likhti thi, ye speech nahi hai. Tum baat nahi kar rahe ho. You're writing. Write as if you write. I know. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
True.
Absolutely. Right. But so 3 years ago, I started to write this book. And so... मैं उसको एक एक चैप्टर अपने भाई को भेज रहा था माय यंगर ब्रदर हु इज एब्सोल्युटली बाय द वे ही इज द मोस्ट क्रिटिकल पर्सन एवर एंड आई लव दैट अबाउट हिम सो ही इज फेयरली क्रिटिकल ही इज नॉट ओवरली क्रिटिकल आई थिंक ही इज द मोस्ट रैशनल पर्सन दैट आई नो सो आई वुड सेंड इट टू हिम एंड ही वुड टेयर द ड्राफ्ट अपार्ट एंड सेंड इट बैक टू मी सेइंग दैट बॉस ये तो मैं ऐसा लग रहा है मैं आपकी कोई स्पीच सुन रहा हूँ यहाँ पे पॉज आ रहा है यहाँ पे आप लोग का थोड़ा हंसने का वेट कर रहे हो ये चीज नहीं जमेगी टाइम ऑन टाइम आई डिड इट And the only thing that I hated that process, but the reason I did that because I felt a sense of purpose that if I want to put something out there where people can consume what I think in their own space and time and asynchronously, I would love to do it. The writing it was still getting difficult. So here's what I did. And because you also spoke about process earlier, the thought when I wake up, whenever I wake up, and whatever my daily schedule is, I will dedicate the first 1 hour of my day to the book. Kisi din chaar chhe words bhi nahi aate hain. And I'm just thinking. And kisi din I was able to write 2 or 3, 4 pages. I finished a chapter in one day because I was in that flow. Right? So 1098 days of writing and redoing since actually 1098, 1 hours in the morning.
That's only 1,000 hours, right?
Only 1,000.
1,000 hours is not really a lot. Like if you think about your life, 1,000 hours, like kya? Yeah. Main bhi math karke batata hoon kitne din hue. Apne phone pe. 1,098 divided by 24 is 45 days.
45 days.
45 days is not asking for a lot at all. Huh? Go on.
Yes. Yes. But so when you put it like that, it is not a lot of investment that I've done, but it feels as if...
No.
So
from your end.
The power of process.
I'm thinking about people who think of like, you know, these processes as being grand. I have to put hours and hours. Well, it's a meager amount of investment. Tum kar sakte ho. Right? Huh?
Yes.
Right.
And to create something which is permanent.
Which is permanent.
So I think that is how process helped me personally. कि एक बार वो प्रोसेस बना ले कि एक घंटा करना ही करना है फिर मैं भले ही लिटरली ड्राफ्ट पे बैठा हूँ चार पांच वर्ड्स भी नहीं आ रहे बट बिकॉज आई एम सिटिंग देयर एंड इट्स हैपनिंग आई थिंक दैट वाज वेयर आई फेल्ट दैट पर्पस ओवरटुक पैशन यार लिखना पैशन नहीं है लेकिन इसका पर्पस इज लार्जर इवन टुडे आई एम बेरली ब्रेकिंग इवन ऑन द बुक इट इज इन लॉसेस
आई हैव नेवर हैड अ बुक इन प्रॉफिट No matter whose book it is, even if it has the word profit in it, few books profit.
I think multiple books behind you might be from profitable writers.
Sure, that's why they're here, right? This generic mainstream, because that's what I buy. Stuff that everybody reads.
So I think...
Go on. You were telling me about the book because I'm also very interested. I had planned on starting with that. It just entirely moved like sideways in my mind. So I want to know because we've spoken like what, thrice and you've never mentioned you've written a book. Dude, if you're an author, that's what you begin with. Have you never heard? Tools of trade. Main author. Maine book likha hai. Aise karte log yaar. Kya kar raha hai Budit? Tell me about this book, bro.
No, so I've got a copyright here. It's called Be Invincible.
Huh.
It says the mindset, skills, and habits for sustainable growth and success.
Right.
So the reason I came up with this was, what we're consuming right now, Prakhar, is the amount of information is exponentially larger than what we used to consume at just few years ago, or just few years before that.
Right.
Right. And a lot of things that we're consuming are impacting us on a level that we don't understand.
Absolutely. Like
social media, you would understand as a creator, kuch kharab comments stick with you.
Of course.
But sometimes, of course, those stick. But uske alawa, beyond that, I'm just seeing somebody's vacation photos. I'm liking them. But I'm working in my cubicle on that report that I've been struggling on for like the last 40 days. Boss, abhi bhi chilla hai. And then I'm thinking, yaar, that friend is vacationing in Maldives. And I am struggling to make a living here. This person is doing his or her 3 pre-birthday party.
Right.
And I don't have the money or
That's
the friends
bitterness
perhaps.
Right there, bro.
That's bitterness.
Muscles mein khus jati hai ye bitterness eventually. Accumulate hoti rehti hai. And you're programmed for being bitter now. Huh?
And I don't know what is the result of this going to be. Because I still don't think...
It's going to be poisonous, bro. Like you see it with it's not funny that mental health cases have gone up with the audacity that they have over the last so many years, right? They have. And part of it is exposure. We thought at one point information is going to solve all our problems. We now realize it's a meta answer, which is algorithms, because they'll sort through information because information is too much. There is too much information and it's uncensored. In fact, sometimes it exists to provoke you. And if it exists to provoke you, you are constantly battling against the apps on your phone. We have come to that place where the phone's gone from being a utility and has become a tumor. It makes us feel like we are immortal. For small seconds, we are everywhere on this planet. But what it really is a tumor because it's killing you. And like... It takes quite some... you can get over social media. I've realized that. I've spoken about it too. How you just get over it. You're done. I see through it. Like, pehle mereko lagta tha, chalo, jo ye log social media pe influencer wagera hote hain, there has to be some substance. Now, I've seen behind. And it's like you're regular people too. And almost everybody on social media is trying to be the best version of themselves. I'd done this podcast with this gentleman long ago. He said, on social media, you can tell what people think of their best version of themselves in their head. Because that's what they're trying to put out.
I love that.
Right? And it's so like it's a tell between what I think of myself is present on my social media. And only the best of that too. So it's like you're pretty much showcasing all the things you need to compensate for.
Yeah. And my logical mind is able to comprehend that.
Huh.
But I know that somewhere on an emotional level that is being bypassed and I am still being impacted by that. Because although logically I know that like a movie, I know that these guys are acting. But when somebody I love dies, I feel that sadness.
Mm.
So my logic is penetrated to, you know, impact my emotions.
Mm.
And so I think the purpose behind the book was that how can we as humans or open systems evolve to being semi-open systems?
I think we are semi-porous systems.
Filter.
No, we are still semi-porous systems. Like, I think it's a very good analogy, by the way. I don't hear enough people talk about humans as systems and human populations as systems. But I think we are semi-porous. It's just that we're not aware of what is filtering in. We've not checked our membrane.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So how can you check that more
membrane.
Often? How can you be more conscious about it?
Right.
That's exactly what membrane which is there.
100%. 100%.
So that's why it says invincible, because, you know, invulnerable, you can't be invulnerable, but what you can be is invincible. So that was the inspiration behind the book. So I've divided into habits. I've divided into mindset, skills, and habits that one can develop to be able to develop that invincible culture in their life.
Mindset and habits, I get.
Skills and habits.
Yeah. What are the skills like? What kind of skills can you have?
So the skills I have here, so skills like any other thing are stuff which require consistent effort to become better at, right? So one of the skills is listening. So are you actually going out there and making a conscious effort to listen to the other person? And wo baat to theek hai ki aap bol nahi rahe ho, but aapke andar ka internal dialogue hai, are you shutting that up when you're right. Ek andar ka judgment bolta hai, haan bhai tu bol le, kya bakwas kar rahe ho, haan, can you keep that? Second is focusing on, you know, balancing serendipity as well as controlling your life. So the chapter says never drive on neutral. It is actually inspired by, you know, when I was learning how to drive, my father was teaching. Has your father taught you how to drive?
My father did not have the time. He was too busy being a lawyer. he only had time to criticize my driving 10 years after I learned driving, so that, you know, like when I drive now,
you're still
like,
lucky.
that's the most I get from him when we're driving. And so I'm like, break the one.
Condition reflects. Exactly. कि मेरे पापा का हाथ उठना शुरू होता है गाड़ी में, मेरा ब्रेक दबना शुरू
हो जाता है.
Condition reflects. Third is inspired by Cal Newport's book. I don't know if you've read Deep Work.
I think it's somewhere here.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So how can we develop the skill of working deep? Next is the quiet eye, which talks about, so people, everybody's talking about focusing on one thing. And what we also need to understand is defocusing on things actively as well. Because you cannot focus on one thing unless you understand what you need to defocus on. The other thing that is there is horizontal knowledge. So a lot of people are working in going deeper into certain subjects. Yeah,
no, we talk about the same stuff, bro. We talk about the same stuff. That's absolutely hitting a nerve. Go on.
Subscribe PG Radio and Prakhar ke Pravachan. More horizontal knowledge. Absolutely. No, I'm being very serious right now. Is people need to consume that kind of content, because they're consuming the content that gets them deeper, which is important. But what is equally important is developing that, you know, horizontal knowledge. And next is, you know, it's as simple as focus on doing. A lot of people are focusing on thinking, are focusing on blabbering. But who are the people out there who are actually creating things? Because in the knowledge economy right now, everybody seems to be having access to knowledge, but what is somebody who is actually going out there and creating? So I think the number of doers is really reducing. So how can people actually become doers? So
that's fantastic, bro. The only edit I make to that is, instead of horizontal knowledge, I call it horizontal learning. Right? Like that's how I termed it in my lectures. When I give my lectures, I focus very specifically on domain independence, far transfer, and horizontal learning, so that you can move across disciplines, pick things from here and there, and then put them in different boxes, create those mistakes that lead to creativity, explore beyond what you thought you'd explore, compound every day. And then that sort of brings results out. It's very weird when you try to teach somebody how to, say, stay tight on their lives and live their lives. It's not obvious what to tell them. It's really not. What you've got to tell them is trust the process, but establish firm ground on that process. And then both of us see darkness, right? Even if I'm mentoring somebody, I cannot see light for them. right? Just like they cannot see light for them still, but they will spot it first if they only continue to persevere with a solid enough process. That's my advice to younger people. Focus on process and habits. Forget outcomes. Long game. This is inning one. You're only 25 at best, right? When you're young. 25, that's one inning. There's three more. You'll probably live till 100. If you do things right, you'll probably live till 100. Kya karoge? Dude, I had this insane experience from, like, I'd sort of come to this idea myself. I got this insane example from watching The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. There is a game in which Beth Harmon, the lead, is playing a Russian grandmaster who's 13 or something. And that grandmaster loses. He's never lost a game. And he's like, don't worry, I will come back next year and be world champion. She's like, then what? What are you going to do after? And he just loses his mind. He is like, uska dimag short circuit ho jata. He has no answer. He's like, khatam na fir 14 pe. Ab what do you do from there? There's so much to do. Take your time. It's easy. It's okay. Right? Work every day. But be patient over the long run. Enough life to find your outcomes. But that's, I think we agree on a lot more than we disagree on. That's good to find.
Absolutely. And the topic that we are addressing right now, we could do another complete episode on this. So I don't want to hop over, but I'm feeling so excited about, you know, this thing that you're mentioning is that ability to pick up absolutely different things from different spheres, which don't seem to have anything in common. But when they come together, that creates something inside of you, which is completely authentic and unique.
For sure. That probably is the closest you come to originality. I'm sure somebody else has thought about it. I'm sure somebody even wrote about it. But you came to it yourself. You picked apart skeletons that were... Like, you found a tunnel, man. That's what you did. There were two rooms. One was called biology. The other was called physics. And nobody knew there was a tunnel that connected them. And in that tunnel, there's treasure. Right? Go fetch. Go fetch. You might be the next Elon Musk. Like, I'm not saying Elon Musk is such an overused example. I hate saying that. But you might create something new. And I don't know if that applies, if that scales on to 40-year-olds and 45-year-olds as well as it does to 20-year-olds, I think you'd be the better judge of that. But that's what I tell you. Almost constantly be looking for these tunnels. That's your source of creativity. Think about all the creativity you ever did. Most people just wrote a poem or a song. What you did was you used metaphors. What were metaphors? There is plants and animals. There is a song to be written where feelings are to be expressed. You find a tunnel between them. You use those plants and the metaphors of nature to express an emotion. Those are the tunnels where all your creativity is nested. Go search for them.
Search for the tunnels.
Search for the tunnels, man. Search for the tunnels. Chal, can kare?
Bilkul. Just before that, I just want one last thing from you.
Please.
I've been looking at that night on your shelf.
Huh.
Why is that knight there?
I am a very fond chess player. Have you never talked about chess?
We haven't.
Oh, you play
and
chess
why knight
well?
In chess?
There's a rook as well. They're bookends.
I thought there was a mic.
There is a mic. I was three when I started playing chess. So it's almost part of my personality. It's part of the way I think about life.
Really?
I was very fond of chess growing up. Very, very fond. I competed for a while, 10, 11 years, and then I was like, no more. So I still play.
You would have loved the Queen's Gambit, wouldn't have you?
No. Bro, that's my problem, brutal honesty. Yaar, sare game jeet rahi hai ya haar rahi hai? At that level, you draw almost most of your games. So I was like, that's a turn off. Plus, you make it very fantastic. No, usko sapne mein, uske moves aa rahe hai and whatnot. And so... It was okay. I think it was overhyped. I think it did bring chess into the pop culture, for which I'll always be grateful of Queen's Gambit and Samay Raina equally. But underimpressive as a story. As a fan of stories, eh. Hey, you cut out.
You start a third channel on movie reviews, I think.
Bro, it's going to happen very soon. I'm thinking of one to do with my friend. Where we just review movies and brutally honest reviews. Just like, masal do. Because bro, some of the cinema I end up watching is so good, it's not even funny. Like Iranian cinema and Korean cinema, highly recommend. Like Iranian cinema particularly. Bro, poetry likhte hain yaar. They have poetry.
Yeah, I've been seeing your tweets about Fauda these days.
Oh, Fauda's great. Fauda's great. Fauda was insane. Blew my mind. So, मतलब इतना intense emotionally हो गया था ना कि नींद नहीं आती थी रात को. क्या होगा अगले episode में? And that very rarely happens. Tu cut out kar raha hai bahut.
I love that.
Chal. Okay. Let's scan the conversation. Let's do one more very soon where we can talk about all the other things.
So your screen is getting stuck as well. I was just typing
right. Right. Yours was as well. I think it was your problem, not mine, bro. And if you leave me a text, people can see it on the screen. So. Actually, anyway, I think Mudit's still stuck. I'm going to hang up chat. Thank you so much for being here. If you're still interested in the DTU event, it's at 3 p.m. on Prakhar Ke Pravachan. You can come check it out at Prakhar Ke Pravachan. All right? Chalo. Okay. Ciao. Jaate jaate like kar dena aur etc. 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 Subscribe kar dena.
What kind of OBS is this? Dude, I could have written anything. We'll be right back.